now it's just kind of turned into a way to shut my brain off and keep it from dealing with or thinking about any of the other things. If I win this, then I can go and do this, or I can pay this off. There's been opportunities where I've proven that wrong because I've had that win. I've gotten to the point where I had the money that I wanted to pay something off, and I didn't. I'm the one who put myself in this situation. I'm the one who borrowed money from people that I care about to pay my bills because I'm not responsible enough to do it myself.
Today's guest is Zach, and he's going to share his story about how he's trying to leave gambling behind right now, just having made his last bet 2 days ago. But before we dive into it, I have one favor to ask from you. So many of you watch the channel regularly, but you're not yet subscribed. Hit that subscribe button, and my promise to you is that I will continue to work hard to spread awareness that gambling addiction is real. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the One Day at a Time podcast. Today's guest is Zach, and this is going to be a bit of an interesting conversation, one that we don't usually have here on the channel. Zach is just recently coming off of making his last bet. In fact, it was just maybe a couple of days ago, and we're going to be talking about his story, but also what can be done going forward to leave gambling in the past. Zach, thank you for being brave enough to join me today, man.
No problem. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, why don't we dive into it then? Tell us what got you started with gambling.
You know, I started gambling basically right when I was 19. That's when, with where I'm from, when you're eligible to go into casinos and video lottery terminals and stuff like that we have at bars. You know, I was always warned by my family because we do have a long history of addiction problems, not necessarily gambling, but with drugs and alcohol in my family, about the risks associated with it. And essentially from the first time that I started gambling, I never lost. Like every single time it would be $500,000, $2,000 here, there off of, you know, $20, $40. And it went on like that for years. I financed trips. I paid student loans. I did so much stuff that was purely financed, you know, based off of gambling winnings. And I mean, looking back at that now, like, it almost like takes away from some of that stuff that I did because it wasn't like worked for, earned. It was, you know, just luck of the draw, but it was just something that I thought was just going to continue to happen. You know, being a former college athlete, you know, through university, the gambling was certainly slowed down quite a bit, partially because I was just too busy focused on other things. And then the other side of it was just, you know, lack of financial means, being a broke college student. But, you know, after graduating university, not having the dreams that I had set out for myself with pro sports, you know, come to fruition, and just ending up having to move back home and basically start from scratch is when things really started to pick up again. I got a job where I was making $130,000, $140,000 a year for 6 consecutive years before I got out of the business, and I had nothing to show for it. You know, things just kind of started spiraling and spiraling, and then it ended up costing me a relationship. Still to this day, she doesn't know about that, but that was a big motivating factor in a lot of the struggles that we had when we were living together, and just obviously like the financial problems and, you know, lying and all of that. After that, I was able to kind of pull myself together for a little bit, and it started a trend of like, I could go 4, 5, 6 months without gambling, and then I'd do it once, and then it would be a binge gamble to the bottom for a week, and then it would stop, and then it would come back. I ended up quitting my job, selling everything that I owned, and moving out to Australia just to try and get myself a restart and just do something that I'd never really done before. I mean, it was incredible. It was one of the best times of my life, those 6 months out there. But still, again, I was still gambling. Not as severe, but it was still something that I was doing and something that I didn't want to be doing. And I didn't really understand why I was doing it, because it didn't make sense for me to do something that I was trying to escape, you know, when I was back home. So then I ended up moving back here, back home after about 6 months, and, you know, got what I would call my dream job. I absolutely love it. It's a ton of fun. It's pretty stress-free. I work in a really cool industry. Every time that I try to pull myself ahead, I slip back into the same patterns. You know, I'm struggling to pay bills, struggling to pay rent, make my student loan payments, things like that. And I'm unable to afford a lot of the stuff that I love, enjoy doing, purely because I'm just trapped in this cycle.
Well, thank you for sharing that and setting the scene with us. There was a couple things that popped up that I want to hone in on. So again, for the context of the audience, your last bet was just a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah.
Well, are you a sports gambler or are you a casino gambler?
I'm a casino gambler, like slots. I did used to play a ton of blackjack and cards, but not anymore. It's 99% slots. I do the odd, you know, parlay, you know, with buddies and stuff like that. Obviously, I know I'm an addict, and this might sound like something an addict would say. I've never really felt that the sports betting was of a concern, but obviously I know that there's an avenue there for it to transition into other things. But yeah, I mean, it's all slot related.
Got you. I mean, great awareness on that. When I was trying to quit gambling, like, you know, one of the first times I was trying to quit, I convinced myself that like the slots were the problem, the blackjack was the problem, that I had some sports betting strategy that would work out. So, I mean, you're far ahead of where I was the 2 days after I stopped gambling. But, you know, you had mentioned that there was a history of drug and alcohol abuse in your family. Do you feel like that made you think like drugs and alcohol are a problem, but gambling is okay to any extent?
Maybe not looked on as unfavorably. I guess, you know, I would say like one of the toughest parts about this is I grew up in a home with a severely alcoholic stepmom who was extremely violent, extremely abusive. You know, watching somebody go through that level of addiction and then, you know, putting myself into that exact same position, just obviously not with alcohol, but it's something that I've tried telling myself, like, why do you want to be like this? And then it doesn't really seem to matter because of the relationship that with my dad and with her. Approaching them about this isn't an option because it's something that would be used against me as you gave her so much crap for so many years about her drinking and now you've just turned into her sort of thing.
So it's almost like a feeling of what do you call it, like not guilt, but maybe like kind of like an embarrassing thing. Like you've seen some actions and you've called them out, but now you're kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah. And like, I know that going that route, it wouldn't help me. It would only make things worse because it's something that would be used against me, used negatively. I remember the level of support that she received at the time, you know, from my dad. And that's not something that I want.
I'm sorry to hear about that situation. I can relate to, it's almost like going back on your word to yourself. And I did that constantly during my addiction. And so not that I was in the same exact situation, but I can relate to this feeling of like, I can't tell anyone because like, then I'm already, like I already said something in the past that would make it bad if I told someone. I'm not sure where I'm trying to say with that exactly, but I'm trying to tell you I can relate to that feeling. Was the gambling viewed as a consistent way to make money for you?
Yes.
So then did you view gambling as like a shortcut in life to any extent?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if I win this, then I can go and do this, or I can pay this off, or there's been opportunities where I've proven that wrong because I've had that win. I've gotten to the point where I had the money that I wanted to pay something off and I didn't.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I'm trying to level with maybe the people in the audience that don't fully understand problem gambling. They don't understand the thoughts that go through our minds. You know, you said you were making 130, 140 a year at this one job that you were working during that 6 year span just out of college. Why was it that money didn't feel like it was enough?
You know, I'll be honest, I don't really think I've ever really kind of thought about that. I think at that point in my life, it was, you know, it was a combination of struggling with the post-college adjustment into sort of the real world. And then again, just looking for those shortcuts of it at that time. I was sitting on around $98,000 in student debt, you know, and instead of doing the smart thing of like, what if we just make your payments, pay your bills, and we can throw extra money towards this, we'll be out of this soon. It just became about trying to pay it off in a lump sum and hoping for that kind of one thing. And then all it did obviously was just put me in a much worse position and, you know, put me into bankruptcy. And
it's just like an impulsive feeling. It's like, I got to get this done right away. Like debt. And like negative like financial situations, they sit with me. Like when I feel anxiety or I feel like stress about something, I physically feel it. It's not just like a thought in the back of my head. Like I'll feel it like in my chest and like in my throat, like stress and anxiety. And so for me, I always viewed gambling as like, if I get that one lump sum payment, I can fix everything. And given the fact that there were instances in your past where you did say that your gambling was able to pay for things, I see why that was like the thought, right? It was like you had convinced yourself basically that gambling was a way to fix any kind of problem. Is that maybe fair?
Yeah, I know that with this, I have nobody to blame but myself, but it's, you know, when I analyze it and I look at it and I think a large part of this, and I mean, it honestly doesn't even really make sense to me, but like growing up, money was something that was held over your head. It was like, I hate money, purely because it was used as a method of control and manipulation, and you know, it sort of was used to establish a hierarchy in the family of who deserved the most respect and all of this, and you were expected to do certain things based on, you know, who provided for you financially. Part of it is almost like, I hate having money. I know what I can use it for, and I know like all these great things and these fun things that I get to do, and that I could build myself a future and go about my life differently than how I was brought up with that. But I know it doesn't make sense, but I hate money.
I don't know that it doesn't make sense. It's clicking with me. I'm just trying to dig a little deeper on it. If this thought is like, I don't want this money in my life, it's causing evil things, I don't like the way that it's caused this specific structure, like what is the thought that counteracts that? What continues to motivate you to go back and gamble more? Is it about the money anymore?
I don't think it's about the money anymore. I think now it's just kind of turned into a way to shut my brain off and keep it from dealing with or thinking about any of the other things. Sort of more recently, I've been having a lot of like health problems with my back. I've got two herniated discs in my lower back. And like ever since college, I've been somebody who like, I still play baseball, golf, every sport imaginable competitively. I'm in the gym damn near 365 days a year. And since this injury in the last 6 months, I haven't been able to be in the gym. It's definitely the lack of physical activity and the wait list that, you know, that I'm currently on, because our healthcare system, to be frank, in Canada is awful. It's just a giant waiting game, and it's definitely thrown me into a depression that, you know, now I think the gambling is more so just kind of become a way of shutting my brain off in an avenue for that, as what the gym has been for me for so many years. That was initially a big part of my ability to go extended periods of time without gambling. And now it's like, I don't have that, you know. Again, a lot of it's just excuses, I guess. But, you know, I find when I'm struggling with things, you know, whether it was, you know, family stuff, my last breakup, or now physical health problems and stuff like that, that's when things really start to kick in more, because it's trying to give myself something to feel good about. And obviously it just ends up making me feel worse.
Man, I mean, you're calling it excuses, but objectively, you're going through a lot of shit right now. I can tell, just based on the story. Like, it's not an excuse. It's just life. It is the reality of it. Let's dive a little deeper. And throughout the rest of this call, hopefully I can share something that maybe helped me when I was feeling literally the exact same way just a couple years back. But to kind of help me paint the rest of the picture here to fully understand the situation, what are relationships and friendships like in your life right now? Like, do you have a core group of people around you?
Yeah. When I was growing up, because of the family situation that I was in, I established myself a core group of friends, you know, at about 11, 12 years old. And for the most part, we have all been together since. They're family to me. We do Christmases, Thanksgivings, trips, you know, whatever together. We do absolutely everything together. We're always talking. As for like relationships and whatnot, it's certainly different. Kind of seems like over the past couple of years, I'm just trapped in a cycle of, you know, kind of meeting somebody. We're halfway together for 3 months and then just kind of blows up. And, you know, a lot of it is me having people in my life that I know I shouldn't when it comes to that. And then, you know, sort of being oddly shocked when it inevitably blows up, sort of thing.
No, I feel like that's just kind of the modern story right now. I think people are struggling to find long relationships for many different reasons. So it definitely might not be anything to do with your fault. I mean, it could just be like, I remember when I was first trying to get into relationships to start talking to people in February of 2022, when I first tried to stop gambling, I almost like was self-sabotaging actually to a certain extent, because I was just like not ready for peace or like any kind of stable situation. I was so used to the ups and downs of gambling that like anything that felt okay felt wrong, like it was awkward. I don't know. But the reason that I asked about relationships and friendships is like, I think that this addiction gets much, much worse when we do it in isolation, when the people around us don't know how bad it is. Have you told anyone in your close circle about what you've been dealing with?
No. Not directly. I don't think any of them would really have any sort of knowledge about it. I find that ever since, you know, I was growing up throughout school and whatnot, I was always the consistent one, just in terms of attitude, how I would show up. Like, it was always just kind of like, yeah, that's just Zach. That's kind of class clowny, always making jokes, you know. And I mean, especially any sort of trauma, you know, that I've experienced in my life is 100% getting dealt with through some form of humor. So yeah, like, it's, you know, I think a part of that is just the appearances. Like, there's just always just not necessarily an expectation, but just I'm always kind of the life of the party, the one who's showing up. I plan everything, I get everybody together, and, you know, I do all this stuff. And
I can relate to that, man. And I think it was Robin Williams had a quote. It was like, the loudest person or the funniest person in the room is usually the saddest. And I can absolutely 100% relate to that feeling. I think we have a lot in common, and I'm excited for the next 15, 20 minutes, what we can do to try to, you know, set the groundwork to turn things around. Do you feel like this is then probably literally like the first time you've told someone about the gambling problem?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for telling me. I mean, I appreciate it. I don't want anyone in the audience to think that I'm making you do this for views or anything like that. I hope that something in this conversation can stick with you and stick with maybe someone who can relate to what we had both gone through. Have you tried anything yet to stop gambling?
I guess, you know, not having cash on me is kind of like my main one. I've started removing my debit, my credit cards from my wallet, because I can just pay for things on a daily basis with my phone. It never seems to last. It never seems to stick. Or it's like, you know, recently I've started gambling on my phone through like an app. I'm currently have an application pending with that to get myself put on a permanent exclusion list to where I'm not able to utilize that and whatnot. So those are just kind of the steps that I've taken right now. It's when I'm alone, when I'm at home, where it's definitely the hardest. And, you know, traditionally in the past, I'm never at home. I'm always out doing something and always just trying to keep myself going. But eventually that catches up with me too.
I definitely don't have the answer to tell you how to fill your time in an optimal way. I'm definitely not the poster child for that. But what I have figured out is how to keep myself away from gambling. That's what I hope to be able to share with you now. The reason that I asked kind of what you've tried so far is because, I don't know, have you seen any of my videos where I talk about the four things that I did to quit gambling?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to repeat them a little bit for the audience maybe that hasn't heard, but essentially, one of the first things you had already said that you were doing, which is self-excluding from the casinos. So for those that don't know, it's putting yourself on a list where you are now banned from entering the premises of that casino and playing on their affiliate apps. In where you are in Canada, is that like a state-based exclusion? Like, once you're on that list, it covers everything?
I haven't done enough research into that, because we do have provincial sanctioned casinos, and then we do have a couple that are outside of that group. Pretty much every bar we have has VLTs in them, so that wouldn't be a part of that. But then again, that's just situation based. You know, the gambling when I'm out with friends and I'm around those things is never an issue. You know, when I'm out with friends, I'm not gambling. It's just going to kind of become up to me to keep myself away from those places when I'm alone to avoid that. You know, one of my biggest fears right now is we're coming off our best quarter we've ever had at work, and I get that bonus next week, and it's going to be to the tune of about between $8,000 and $9,000, and I'm absolutely terrified I'm going to lose all of that, because like that is something that I'm viewing as, you know, this success that we've had, like this is the opportunity for the hard restart and to get back on track and actually build towards something.
So then it's very important that you have a plan going into next week. And, you know, we'll come back to the self-exclusion piece, but the second piece that I always talk about is financial management. You know, given that you haven't told any of your friends yet about the situation and the family's probably not an option here, what could we do to prepare financially to create some sense of accountability? If I was in your shoes, and it's, again, easier said than done, and it's up to you what you end up doing, I would tell some of your closest friends the truth about what's going on and ask if any of them will help keep you accountable financially. It's a difficult conversation. It's one that, for me, I built up in my head as like the worst thing. I could never tell anyone. I have to keep this a secret. They're not going to understand. They don't even have to know anything about gambling. What they know is their friend Zach is struggling with something, and we need to make sure we're stepping up and helping him out. What is your comfort level in having one of those conversations with them?
You know, my worry is that some of the consequences that might come from that, because I am currently paying some of my friends back because of my gambling. They've had to help me pay bills and whatnot. You know, they don't know that that's why. That could be an extremely difficult conversation based off of that. But I mean, also at the end of the day, I'm the one who put myself in this situation. I'm the one who borrowed money from people that I care about to pay my bills, because I'm not responsible enough to do it myself. So at the end of the day, I'm just going to have to accept whatever consequences come from that.
That's fair. But talk me through this. Like, okay, so you borrowed some money from your friends to cover bills. Did you actually put that money towards the bills?
Yes.
Okay. So telling them the reason, what would be the consequence? What would happen?
Lack of trust, I guess. Like, are they actually going to believe that money went toward bills? Or do they think that I would have just gambled it anyways?
So you're worried that they won't believe that you're telling the truth?
Yeah.
I guess that's a situation where you really can't know until you actually do it. But it sounds a lot like something I might have told myself if I wanted to justify not doing it. I don't want to call it an excuse. I think that's harsh. There were plenty of times where I said, like, okay. For example, I borrowed money from my family to start a business. The business was like an online, it was like a cryptocurrency. It was really niche, but it was like a cryptocurrency basketball blog. I took the money and I gambled it and I doubled it. And I put the money back in and I started the business. And then I had this money on the side still, which I then lost gambling. Then I sold the business basically to use that money to gamble, to try to do the same thing, to basically have the business and have the money. I told myself I can never tell my family what I did because they invested money into me. They trusted me with this money. I have to keep it a secret. And I kept repeating that process for months after that point before I finally told them the truth. In the repetition of that process, I put myself into debt where I was working a second job to pay it off. I think that keeping it a secret was a choice that I made. It was an excuse so that I could keep doing it. Do you feel like you can relate to that at all? Maybe you're not telling them because you're not quite ready to stop.
I think that would be fair. If I did tell them this, then yeah, like obviously it would be a lot harder to gamble, especially with, you know, how easy it is to look on like Snapchat maps or something and see where somebody is. Because at the end of the day, I don't care if I disappoint myself, you know? Or if I lie to myself, or if I let myself down, you know. But I do care if I do that to them.
If you tell them the truth and they don't want to be around you, that's real. But if you keep it a secret and they want to be around you, it's like your friendship is based on a lie almost, or the lack of the truth in that particular part of the friendship. And I only say that so like sternly because I've been through the same exact situation. So I want you to know I'm not picking on you. I'm not talking down to you. I've literally been through it myself. And the same things that you're saying to like delay it, I did it. And it kept me gambling for like 3 years longer than I should have. And so that's why I'm just like passionate about saying it. If I were in your shoes, I rip the Band-Aid off and I tell them the truth. And if that costs me a friendship, that's a decision I have to live with. That's a reality I have to live with. Because if I don't tell them, then we're basing it on what they believe to be the truth about me, which was never the reality. It's not an easy conversation by any means, but If you have that accountability, you get a couple of things. One, they're on your ass making sure that you don't gamble. Two, you might even be able to have them help manage your bank account or have oversight over how much money you have. Maybe it's you send them a picture every day of your checking balance. Like, I don't know exactly what it would be in your particular case, but that added pressure of not wanting to gamble to disappoint someone else is huge. And it's selfishly part of the reason why I have this channel. If I go and gamble, I have to explain it now to tens of thousands of people what happened. I want to make sure that I don't put myself in that. So, I mean, it's not going to be an easy conversation at all, but if you were to tell them the truth, how would you do it? Like, what would the situation be? Walk me through it.
I think there's kind of only one way to go about it, and that's just to kind of sit down with them and just tell them. Like, I don't really know if there is another way around it.
If you do that, I think it makes things easier. But let's continue along with the other two things. Have you ever heard of a support group meeting for gambling addiction?
No. I see the stickers on every VLT that I've ever gambled on about when it's time to get help and whatnot. But
yeah, it's so the group that I attend every Tuesday night, and I still go to this day, it's called Gamblers Anonymous. Basically, you go, it's in like the basement of a church, and I sit at a table with a bunch of people who made terrible decisions, and we sit there and talk about our terrible decisions that we made. You know, it's not like the easiest thing to sell, right? Like, it's not like very sexy to tell you to go and sit in a church basement and talk to a bunch of dudes you don't know. But at the end of the day, having conversations like this changed a lot for me, because I had mentioned earlier, I think this addiction thrives in silence. When I kept things to myself, I was accountable to no one. I could always talk myself back into gambling. I could always talk myself into thinking it would be different the next time, that I'll not make this same mistake again. I'll do this stake amount, I'll do this differently. Once I put it out in the open and I had a group of people to talk to, it changed everything. Not to make you nervous or anything, but probably people are going to be watching this in thousands, in 10,000s. How does that make you feel in terms of telling that many people the truth?
I'm fine with it, because this is my first real attempt to try and put an end to this. It's what needs to be done. Hopefully us having this conversation and knowing how many people that are going to view it makes it easier to have that conversation with the people that are close to me.
That was my like initial thought once we started talking today, was like, I think this will help with ripping the Band-Aid off, because it's already going to decently be out in the open. Just the ability to lay things out, it's therapeutic. And it's literally called your therapy when you're speaking. I've gotten more out of that personally than I got from actual therapy, but that's just my own experience. The other final thing that I focused on in my own recovery was finding something of meaning to do with my time, which is partially why we're having this conversation today. What do you do outside of the gambling for fun, for meaning, for purpose in life right now?
I'm always on the go. Obviously, with the current back injury and whatnot, it has hampered things a little bit. But, you know, I live in the gym, like I said, 365 days a year, pretty much. My dad has a ton of health problems that are all self-inflicted, and it's been an extremely big motivating factor for me that at 50 years old, I don't want to be like that. So, and that's been tough, not being able to be into the gym, because it kind of feels like the kickstart to being eventually like that. Beyond that, I play competitive baseball. I play competitive golf. I'm part of Team Canada for World Long Drive. It's all very active sort of stuff. And then with my job, I'm always able to find something to do, whether it's, you know, football games, concerts, again, rounds of golf, stuff like that, that we get for free.
So then it sounds more like the immediate issues lie in just being open and honest with other people.
Yeah.
Respect. You know, once I put those four things together, it wasn't like everything felt perfect again. It wasn't like I was like immediately happy. In fact, I was pretty depressed. I was dealing with paying off gambling debt. I was feeling still decently purposeless in the early days of trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Now at this point, I can say I'm able to feel, I'm able to actually process what's going on. I'm able to be present in the moment and not worry about hiding lies and not being truthful with people. And I genuinely want that for you as well. Is there anything in particular that I could share with you that would be really helpful in your journey? Is there any kind of question that you have that you've been thinking about that you haven't had anyone to ask it to?
You know, I guess I might be more so curious, was like, what was the final kind of nail in the coffin that got you to quit, because every time I feel like I'm at that point, it turns out that no, we can still go lower. We can still mess this up even more.
Occurred over two different events, about 8 months apart from each other, but it was the same underlying thought. And it was coming to this conclusion that I could no longer figure out why I was doing what I was doing. Like, when I started gambling, I was doing it because I was watching sports a lot, because I liked doing it, because it was fun, it was exciting. Then I was doing it because I wanted to make money. I wanted to be a big shot. I wanted to retire my family with a big win or of some kind. Like, I had all these crazy dreams. Then in February of 2022, I took a big win and I bought a plane ticket to fly out to Paris. And when I landed there, I was supposed to be traveling the world, avoiding responsibility, doing whatever I wanted, being a big shot. And within 2 hours, I was on the toilet in the hotel. I was spinning a slot on my phone, some random French site that I was able to log into with a VPN. I like lost all the money that I had for the trip that day. And I sat there and I was staring at the phone and I had like this thought. I was like, I don't know why I did that. It wasn't to make more money. It wasn't to pass the time. It wasn't for fun. I just did it because I was used to doing it. And that wasn't a good enough excuse anymore. So from that point, I was like, I'm done. I'm going to quit gambling. And I went 8 months and I was fine. And then I started to feel bored, tired, sorry for myself, broke, behind all the people in my life. And I justified another excuse to try one more time, which led to a 12-hour gambling binge in a casino, which I make endless videos about here on the channel. But during that binge, it was like 8 hours in. And I had taken out cash advances, maxed out 3 credit cards, and I had it all as loose bills. And I had it in my pocket with my phone. I went to grab my phone and all the money fell out onto the floor. I scrambled and I picked everything up. And I had the thought after I did of like, just throw the money back on the ground, man. It won't matter. You're going to leave with zero anyway. And it was once again that thought, why am I doing this? And I didn't have an answer. People will always ask me, you know, what could you have told your younger self to stop you from gambling? I don't think anything would have stopped me except actually gambling more and realizing the consequences. But it was that lack of realization that kept me going. I never stopped and thought, why am I doing this? If you ask yourself why and you don't have an answer anymore, it's an obvious sign that something's got to change. Enough bullshit, I guess, by the end of it, that I was pretty confident. I knew that I didn't have a reason anymore to keep going.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, man, I want to thank you for the time. To anyone that's in the audience that wants to hear a story of someone in recovery from a gambling addiction, check out this video next. Let's keep getting better together, one day at a time.